How many of y'all are glad to be back at church this morning? Yeah, me too. For those of you that aren't glad to be back at church, hopefully your opinion will change by the end of the service. If you're a guest of ours today, let me say welcome. My name is Chris Billiter. It's my great joy to pastor this wonderful group of people that is East Point, and we are thrilled to be back together. Hopefully everyone made it through all the craziness unscathed. We were in contact with a lot of you all throughout the storm and throughout all that. We had questions from our friends from Michigan like, okay, we know how real people deal with snow. How do you people deal with it down here? That was fun. We had people checking in on each other. One of my favorite things about this church is the sense of community and of care and care for one another. So thanks for being that kind of a church. Thanks for being the kind of church that's just looking out for one another. We are glad that you are here today. As we kick off a new year together, let me tell you a few things going on in the life of our church that I want you to know about. For our students, they have the Youth Evangelism Conference. Yes is how they shorthand that here at the KBC. That's February 7th through the 8th in E-Town. They usually rent out an Airbnb and go for a couple nights, and it's a great time. And our students, grades 6 through 12, are equipped in how to share their faith and how to defend the faith in this world. Hey, let me tell you something that you can be encouraged about right now. And I'm not a podcast guy in general, so don't hear me saying something about someone and a massive endorsement or anything. But this past week showed something really unique happening in our world. There is an openness right now to hearing the gospel. One of, if not the most popular podcast in the country is by a guy named Joe Rogan, who is not in any way a believer, okay? But he had a Baptist evangelical apologist on his podcast for 3 hours this week, explaining and defending faith in Jesus Christ. So students, I am so proud of you all for being willing to go to a conference like this so that you can take part in this conversation that's going on. So y'all be praying for our kids as they do that, all right? That'll be great. We have Sunday morning Bible studies. We have a study for men, a study for youth, and a study for women. And on January 26th, our women will be getting a new one, seven-session study on Isaiah. It's going to be a great study. Those books are in. They're currently in my foyer. I know, right? I left them there. But they're not starting until the 26th. So we have the books. If you're looking to plug in on a Sunday morning, ladies, this is a great time for you to jump in as they start something new. That will be on the 26th. We have other gatherings throughout the week. There's a men's Bible study tomorrow morning. Dan, tomorrow morning? Tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., Heine Brothers on Hurstmore and Shelbyville Road. Guys, if you're looking for a place to just be in community and to pray for one another, if you can't do Sunday morning here, we encourage you and invite you to Monday morning's Heine Brothers. We have community groups that meet on Saturdays. We have the Middletown group that will be back together. If you're looking for a way to get plugged in and you're not plugged in yet, it's not for lack of opportunity, okay? We have a variety of things at a variety of times to meet you where you are. All right, that's the big stuff for now in terms of announcements. We'll be praying for each other later on. Obviously, we're going to be praying for what's going on out on the West Coast with the fires. We have some personal connections with that I'll tell you about later on. But for now, know that, again, we're thrilled that you're here. We're expecting God's Spirit to move in our hearts, that there would not be a single one of us, whether you're just asking questions for the first time about faith in Jesus or you've been at this for 40 years, we're praying that by the power of God's Spirit, each one of us leaves different than we walked into this place today. Let me pray for us, and then we will worship together. Father, it is good to be with your people. It's good to be with our church family. We thank you for the church gathered here at East Point. And Lord, as we start this new year, we pray, Lord, that you would move in our lives individually and as a body, that we would seek to follow you in new and exciting ways this year. And God, that we would be willing to follow you in old and normal and sometimes boring ways, just the everydays, God. Help us to be faithful. God, you have shown your faithfulness to us so often. Every day we see evidence of it, so we thank you for that. And Lord, we pray that as we worship, as we hear your word, as we pray, God, that your spirit would indeed move in our hearts and our lives today. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Why don't you stand with us? Let's sing.
Alone in my sorrow and dead in my sin, lost without hope with no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested and my life began, ash was redeemed, only beauty remains. My orphan heart was given a name. My mourning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace, so free, washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new. From my chains, I'm a prisoner no more. My shame was a ransom he faithfully bore. And he canceled my debt and he called me his friend. When death was arrested and my life began. Oh, oh, your grace is so free, washes over. Your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new, now life begins with you.
A Savior displayed on a criminal's cross. Darkness rejoiced as though heaven had lost.
Then Jesus arose with our freedom in hand. That's when death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace, so free, washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new, now life begins with you. Oh, we're free, free, forever we're free. Come join the song of all the redeemed. Yes, we're free, free, forever, amen. When death was arrested and my life began. Oh, we're free, free, forever we're free. Come join the song of all the redeemed. Yes, we're free, free, forever, amen. When death was arrested and my life began. When death death was arrested and my life began. When death was arrested and my life began.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Sing it again. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
He is exalted, the King is exalted on high, and I will praise him. He is exalted, forever exalted, and I will praise his name.
For he is the Lord, forever his truth shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice in his holy name. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high.
He's exalted.
He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. And I will praise him. He is exalted, forever exalted, and I will praise his name.
For he is the Lord, forever his truth shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice in his holy. Exalted, the King is exalted on high.
Philippians 2:1-11. If there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord.
Amen. Is that not the gospel? That is such a great verse, set of verses. So let's we're going to sing In Christ Alone together, and I pray as we sing that, just meditate on the words we just heard, because it is the good news of Jesus.
Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. There in the stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand, till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand. I find my strength, I find my hope, Christ alone. I give my life, I give my all, I sing this song to Christ alone, the King of kings, the Lord of all. All heaven sings to Christ
to Christ alone. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny.
Amen. You can be seated. We're going to sing our annual song. We sing once a year, right? Because it is set to the tune of Auld Lang Syne and has been rewritten by a group called Wren Collective, and it is for all you have done, and it is a simple praise to the Lord for all that he has done and all that he has will do through his faithfulness. So you can sit and enjoy and sing with us if you like, but I hope these words are sung from your heart to the Lord and the Father.
For all that you have done. As we pray for our children this morning, I'm reminded of my children who now have children. And I think about the faces in our churches that poured into them, that told them the stories of Christ, talked to them about their personal walk with Him, and most importantly, who they watched and how that influenced who they are today. I'm thankful that our kids love Jesus, are very involved in their church, but that comes from the influence of those in our seats today. So let me ask, as we pray for our children, if you'll just put your hand on one if they're near you, and think about what God's called us to do in the lives of our children. Let's pray. Father, you said that we are to come to you like little children. And Father, sometimes for us that's not easy, the older we get. And yet I'm reminded of those individual faces that I can see who shared Jesus with Jordan, Lindsay, who influence who they are today, who have helped form how they see Jesus because of the actions and the words of those around them. So, Father, I pray for our children that they'll find you, that you'll bring them to you. I pray for those around them, those teachers that pour into them, those youth leaders that will go on the trip with them in a few weeks, Father, that we each, as we surround our children, that we'll set examples of who you are for them, that they'll want to be like those that they see who love Jesus. Go with our children, go with us, and use us. Hear me pray. Amen. Children, you are dismissed to your classes.
Thank you, Lance. Thank you, team. Okay. My wife listened to my sermon from a few weeks ago where I may have said something along the lines of she's older than me. And I said I could get away with it because she wasn't in here. I forgot we had a podcast. So she just said, hey, I'm in here this week, so you can't say anything tacky or rude. So we're going to pray for each other as a church family. One of the needs that we have, Deborah Aldhouse is down here. A lot of y'all know Deborah. One of her daughters, Emily, I knew I was going to do that. Emily lives out in California, and they did need to evacuate. So they're in Palm Springs now with some people that they know and are safe and everything. Any update on their actual place or anything? Yeah, it's bad out there, y'all. I go out to L.A. in that area once a year. I take Christian Academy on their senior trip, and can very much visualize a lot of the places that are being talked about. This is going to go down as one of the worst disasters in our country's history, so we need to pray for protection and pray for lives to be saved, for wisdom, and for the church to rise up there as they already are. To help in this time, and pray for Deborah. As you can imagine, a mom's heart is tender and something like this, and I know she's thrilled to know that they're okay, but continue to pray for her. Other things going on in our church that you can pray for. Layla's back. They had, can I share what was going on there, Ed and Layla? They just had a double whammy. She had surgery, and then, like, I think everyone but Ed got COVID and was down for a while. What was that? Oh, Layla was fine. So it was the girls. Girls, it's your fault, okay? But they just had a rough go. But we're thrilled to see you all back here, and we're praying for your recovery. How long is the estimated recovery on this? Okay, so a year. So be praying for Layla for patience and all that. She's got a lot going on with, I mean, she plays violin. That's what she, and she teaches. So please be in prayer for her. We got people traveling. We got people out sick. I know they would covet your prayers in the days ahead as they're on the road or people are healing and different things. Pray for our teachers and our students. I know in our household, everyone loved that break. Soph was home, so we got like an extra week together, which was amazing. But it looks like everyone's going back at least for a day tomorrow before the sub-zero temperatures come in later this week. So be praying for everyone as they make that transition, okay? I know there's other needs. If we can be praying for you, we would be honored to do that. We'd be happy to do that. The best way to let us know is through the realm. That way we can know specifically how we can pray for you and what's going on in your life. So why don't we spend a few minutes praying together? Father, you are good to us, and we are thankful for that. We come to you knowing not because of anything in us, but because of your kindness to us and adopting us as sons and daughters in Christ, that you hear us. So as your children, we come to you lifting up these prayers. God, we pray for what's going on out in California. God, we pray that you would guard people's lives. We thank you that Emily's out of harm's way right now. And Lord, we pray that that would continue. We pray that their house would be spared, their apartment. God, that you would watch over them. God, we pray that you would use the church in California to bring hope to people that have lost everything materially. God, I thank you for testimonies that I've seen of people that have lost everything materially but still rejoice, not in their circumstances, but in Christ. And we pray that more and more people might hear that good news. God, even as we mentioned earlier, we pray for what's going on in our country right now as you are opening doors for the gospel of Jesus Christ to be heard in unprecedented ways. We pray that people that normally wouldn't step foot in a church would listen to a podcast and hear the good news and repent and believe. God, we pray that you would bring more and more people to faith in your Son. Father, we pray for those that are traveling right now. We know we still have several folks out on the road. God, that you'd watch over them and protect them. We pray for those that are sick. God, we ask that you would bring healing to them. We continue to pray for Brandon's dad as he recovers from a stroke earlier. God, we thank you that things are going as well as they are. That's a blessing. But, Lord, we know recovery from these things can still take time. So we pray you'd strengthen them and heal his body. Lord, for other requests that may not have been mentioned from this platform, but that people have on their hearts and that you know, God, we ask that you would be near to those that are brokenhearted, bring healing and restoration of relationships where it's needed, and God, grant wisdom where we desperately need to know what's next. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, go to Luke chapter 2. And you're like, Chris, you're a couple weeks late on that. We're not going to be in that part of Luke chapter 2, okay? We're going to be in another part of Luke chapter 2. Thought it might be helpful this spring. Looked at the calendar. Easter's really late this year. I don't know if y'all know that. I think, is it the 20th? Is it on my birthday? Yeah, thank you, Leah. Appreciate that. Yeah, it's the 20th, which is about as late as it can be, I think, according to the calendar. So we have 15 or 16 weeks, which is an interesting amount of time from a pastoral perspective or a preacher's perspective. It's not nearly long enough to go through a gospel. Like, not at all. But I don't want to cut other things short to, like, adequately deal with Easter. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to go on a journey together through the life of Jesus. And we're going to look at different, not all, okay? We do a lot of preaching through books of the Bible here. This will not be that because I can't get it all in, okay? We're going to look at different, about, like I said, we got 15, 16 weeks, different times in the life of Christ where through his words and his actions, he makes known who he is, that we might best understand who Jesus is and who he is calling us to be in light of that. We have an interesting relationship with the concept of who Jesus is in our world today. I mentioned that there's an openness right now to the gospel in some ways, or at least opportunity for the gospel to be heard that hadn't been there in a while. And when you dig in with people, people are often okay with Jesus, right? As long as it's their version of him and their understanding of what they like and what they don't like, and this kind of curated, filtered image of Jesus. I mean, we could call that Instagram Jesus, right? Instagram Jesus, that you put him through the right filters and you take out the right things and you add the right things, and then you get a picture of Jesus that you actually like and are comfortable with. But what we want to accomplish over the next 3 months is not an Instagram version of Jesus, but instead hearing and seeing what Jesus said about himself so that we might respond appropriately. We just came out of Christmas. And we know the birth story. And then we're going to get to Easter, and a lot of us, almost everyone knows that story. So what I'm hoping to start today is, I like to say this from time to time because I grew up riding the back country roads of Central Kentucky with my dad, listening to 84 WHAS, which means there are two predominant voices from my youth. But on the weekends it was either Kaywood or Paul Harvey, and get the what? The rest of the story. So we're going to try to get the rest of the story together. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse, I think we said 41. Is that what I said, Rachel? Yeah, that's what I said. So Jesus, we're past the birth of Jesus right now, and now we get adolescent Jesus. And adolescent Jesus, nearly teenage Jesus, is not the Jesus we talk a lot about in church. And mainly because there's not a lot there in Scripture, right? It's not that we're trying to hide that or anything like that. But we have this story today about young, around 12-year-old, or 12-year-old Jesus that we're going to look at and see what can we learn about who Jesus is. In Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 41, it says this. Now his parents, this is Mary and Joseph. You remember them from the Christmas thing, right? His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. So what this tells us about Mary and Joseph is they were devout Jewish people, okay? They made it a point every year to go to the temple in Jerusalem to celebrate the feast of the Passover, to remember what God did in the Passover, and to celebrate. Now, this is really important because it's in the temple at Jerusalem that was believed to be the dwelling place of God with his people. And that's important for what's going to come later. So Mary and Joseph, very devout, every year they go to the temple in Jerusalem for the Feast of the Passover. Verse 42 says this, and when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. We don't know if this is the first time Jesus joined them. Wouldn't be surprising. As 12-year-old, you're right on the cusp of adulthood in this culture, right? So it would make sense that this may have been, may not have been the first time Jesus goes, but he goes up with them. About a 3 to 4 day journey is what scholars believe from where they were to where they were going. Some of y'all have been in your homes with your kids for 3 to 5 days, and you're like, I'm done, right? And that's just been in your homes. Now they're journeying this, so it's quite a long journey to go on. Verse 43. And when the feast was ended, so they go, they do all the things, they celebrate all the proper ways, they give the offerings. When the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. Now, there's a lot even in that one sentence that I just love. One, the boy Jesus reminds us of the full humanity of Jesus, right? We often, because again, it's the way God organized and gave Scripture, there's a massive gap, right? So oftentimes we go from little baby Jesus, lying in your manger, all cute and cuddly, to adult Jesus, and we don't have a lot of in between. But this one phrase, the boy Jesus, reminds us that Jesus is God in the flesh, but that flesh is fully God and fully human. He experienced everything that there was to experience as a human, and that meant going through all the normal things. And here he is, 12 years old, stayed behind in Jerusalem, and his parents did not know it. Now, some of y'all are thinking to yourselves, how does a parent not know that their child stayed behind? And some others of y'all are like, have you met my child? And if not, let me help you understand how this can happen. But it's actually, when you think about it, not that crazy thing about when, in terms of traveling in large family groups, large groups of people, be very easy for this to happen, for Jesus to be hanging out with some other folks. We'll see that in just a second. But Jesus purposefully, and that's important, he stayed. Scripture doesn't tell us he got left. Scripture tells us that he stayed with intent in Jerusalem, and his parents did not know it. And here we go, verse 44. But supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. They traveled in large groups of family and friends, so this was not that big of a deal, particularly for a 12-year-old. Like, we could maybe be a little more upset with Mary and Joseph right now if this was like a 4-year-old, right? That maybe that's a little bit more irresponsible, right? But a 12-year-old in this culture, again, is on the verge of adulthood anyway. For them, the thought was, oh, he's hanging with these folks over here at the back of the group. We just haven't seen them. So if you do have that kind of response of, oh my gosh, they're the worst parents ever, maybe, you know, give them a little bit of slack and realize that in this time, the word helicopter parent didn't exist. Now listen, if you feel like I'm stepping on your toes, I would like to remind you that this morning I got on my phone, which is what I do, and I typed in life into the search bar, and Life 360 comes up, and right there I can tell you exactly where my college daughter, who had the audacity to leave me yesterday and go back to UK, I can tell her, I can see right where she is right at this moment. So I'm not picking on you if that's it. I'm just saying that wasn't them, okay? That wasn't them. It was a little bit more normal to be a little bit more laid back in these things. They supposed him to be with the group. They went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. So they go a full day. And they're like, I'm sure he's back there with them. But I don't know what triggered him. In my head, it was likely when he didn't show up to eat, right? I live with a 15-year-old boy right now. You all, Ben, I'm not even picking on you. I was probably like this too. I had a girl before a boy. I was not prepared for the amount of food. Or maybe not the frequency. Was it Orlando that I was just like, he was like, I'm hungry. I'm like, you ate an hour ago. And he's like, but I'm hungry. And I got a little mad about it. And then I was like, Chris, you're being dumb, right? The boy's hungry. He's legitimately hungry. And I was like, just don't make yourself sick. And of course, the next morning he wakes up and he goes, I'm hungry. And also, I did not get sick. His point was, feed me, right? Like, feed me, please. So I'll quote someone I love. In my sanctified imagination, it got around dinner time and they were like, you know what? We hadn't fed this kid all day. Something's up. So they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. Now, maybe you've been on that horrible moment, whether at a mall or a theme park or wherever. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I see a lot of head nodding. So I hope you know with what I'm about to say, this is much more common than any of us want to admit, right? But there, a lot of us have had that moment where you're like, oh my, I don't know where my kid is. Where you just get separated. I may have, when I was younger, like thought it was a fun game if I was at the mall with my mom to like hide in the middle of the clothes racks, you know, just cause, you know. My wife's shaking her head no, and Dan's over here like, oh yeah, I did that too. Like, me and Dan appreciate that. But there's what's the word? It's panic, right? It's absolute panic. They went from, oh, I'm sure it's fine, to, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? So now they have to take a day's journey back to Jerusalem to look for him. Verse 46. After 3 days. 3 days. Now, I know I kind of made light of it because a lot of us have done that where you just kind of, where'd you go? And it's usually a very quick resolution. But imagine that for 3 days. Not knowing where your boy is. After 3 days, they found him. And where was he? He was in the temple. The celebratory feast is over. He's just in the temple. The day-to-day teachings and offerings and sacrifices are now being made in the temple, the dwelling place of God, where God dwells. He's in the temple. But he's not running around. I won't, but I could ask Dan. While I'm thinking of Dan. See, Dan grew up a preacher's kid, which means he had something that a lot of folks don't have. He had probably unfettered access to church buildings at off times, and by his laughter, I can tell I'm right, right? Now, most good PKs, when they have, like, we don't have a building, right? But most good PKs, especially when they're younger, if you say, hey, I'm going to be in my office, they're not going to go sit in the sanctuary quietly in meditative prayer, right? They are running all over that place, finding new places to hide, going in places that they shouldn't go, all these things, right? Jesus is not that kind of kid here. He's actually engaged in what's going on in the temple. He is sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Listening to them and asking him questions. Now, we're going to see in the next verse in just a second. It's not just that he's taking in. He's also speaking back. Now, there's so many amazing things going on here. First of all, we see the type of person that Jesus is. With great freedom as a 12-year-old, he doesn't run all over Jerusalem causing trouble. He goes to the temple to listen and to hear and to speak. We also understand that there's something about Jesus that he was accepted in this. Have you ever thought about that when you come to this passage? That there's something about Jesus that they let him be there. That's not always common. I mean, we just came out of the holiday season. Most people at some point or another in your life encountered something at the family holiday gatherings called the grown-up table and the what? The kids' table, because that's what we do with kids, right? We're like, no, you go over there. Why is that? Probably a variety of reasons. One, it's like, you're going to have more fun with people your age. Two, it's also, there may be things said over here at the grown-up table that maybe you don't need to hear. Depends on how that one uncle's doing that day, right? I had three of them. It depends on how that's going on, right? We kind of relegate kids over here. So the fact that Jesus was allowed says something in and of itself there. But not only is he allowed in the room, he's allowed to engage. He's allowed to engage in what's going on, listening to them, asking them questions. And in verse 47, we see that there's something unique about him. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When we encounter a child prodigy or something like that, most of us are just like, oh my gosh, how's that even possible? That this kid knows that. But you have to understand, most of us are coming at that from a layperson's perspective. These are people that are supposed to know everything about the law and the teachings of what would be the Old Testament. These are experts in the field, and they encounter 12-year-old Jesus, and they're amazed, not just by what he's asking, but by what he is saying. by how he is understanding and the answers that he is giving to them. And in this we see that Jesus is more than just a 12-year-old. In verse 48, and when his parents saw him, they finally catch up. They were astonished. I've always wondered what exactly what they were astonished about. Like, there's a lot of things, right? They were astonished that they found him. They were astonished where they found him. They were astonished what they found him doing, right? I don't know, maybe Joseph was like, when I was 12, this is not how I would have run away from my parents. But here's Jesus. And his mother said to him, son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. And Mary's being a mom. She's being a mom. Like, the language is kind of poetic. I feel like it was probably a little fiercer than that, right? Like, what, have you lost your mind? What is wrong with you? You know, however you want to hear that, right? Why have you done this to us? We've been worried sick about you. We've been looking everywhere for you. And we have been stressed out because you just up and left. Or you never came in the first place. Whatever it is, they are both relieved and probably a little bit angry. Verse 49, and we see the response. And he, Jesus, said to them, why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? We have a completely expected reaction from his parents and a completely unexpected response. See, I did some stuff when I was 12. Nothing bad. I'm not trying to be that guy. I know people that did. I didn't do bad stuff, but there were times I caused my mother distress, right? I did. And when she would confront me on that, never in my life did I think to say, well, why were you worried about that, Mom? What's obviously, I never once thought that. That's what Jesus says. And he says it with great confidence. And this language that we have here, did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? This phrase, I must, is used throughout the Gospel of Luke by Jesus. Zacchaeus, come down. I must go and dine with you. I must preach the kingdom of God and bring good news. Same word. Do you not know that the Son of Man must suffer and die? Same word. We understand something in this language, that from 12 years old, Jesus knew exactly why he had come. When we see this, we see something about Jesus, that his mission was never in doubt from his own perspective. Now, did it grow in understanding? I think so. I think so because as Jesus grew, he would understand better what the Father had for him. But his mission in terms of being with his Father and being obedient to him was always of paramount concern, even for 12-year-old Jesus. That he knew that his ultimate relationship in life was not with his earthly mom and dad, but with his heavenly Father. That's what drove him, even at 12 years old. And why is that important? Because everything that will happen from this moment on has opportunity for Jesus to choose something other than his heavenly Father. Whether that's physical comfort, relationships with others, the lack of pain and suffering. Take your pick. But even from this early age, Jesus sets the tone that I am here first and foremost for what the Father has for me. So when Satan later would tempt Jesus and say, all this can be yours, Jesus is like, what you have to offer me doesn't compare to what I have with the Father. When much later Jesus would cry out into the garden, Father, if it's your will, then let this cup pass from me. He's able to say, but not what I want, but what you want to be done. This is often a throwaway passage in the church. We look at it and be like, oh yeah, Jesus was a rambunctious 12-year-old. That's not what's happening here. Jesus is showing us even from the earliest age, from frankly one of the earliest times that we have recorded of who he is, not as a baby and not as an adult, that he understood that his mission was to be who the Father was calling him to be and sending him to be. And we're going to see the unfolding story in Jesus' life over the next 3 months is that he was sent to be our Savior, the Messiah, the hoped for one that would fulfill all the Old Testament prophecies of the one who would come and save the people. I must be in my Father's house. Verse 20, or 50, excuse me, they didn't understand. They did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. They didn't get it. They're like, okay. Look, Mary and Joseph knew that Jesus was special. You want to know why? Well, because there was that whole, like, virgin birth thing. Like, they got that. But they didn't fully understand. So Jesus, even as a 12-year-old, is letting them in. Verse 51, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And all the teenagers are like, man, so close. So close to having, see, mom, dad, Jesus didn't always obey his parents. Kids, that's not what we're saying here. Jesus perfectly went and submitted to the love of his parents and the guidance of them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. Verse 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. That's why I say we see Jesus growing in his understanding of why God had placed him there in the first place. You know what it said Mary did in 51? She treasured it all. We're going to wrap up with this. Angie, you know, could tell you, I get a little weepy on days Sophie leaves, especially when we had as much time. Actually, I think we had, what, more time with her over this winter break than we did in the summer because she was at Crossings. So I cried for a little bit yesterday. But the coolest thing's happening. I'm seeing who my kid is growing up to be. And it's so great. It's so great. So if you ever wonder, what does it mean that Mary treasured this stuff up? That Mary began to understand more and more who Jesus would be. Not just her special son, but the one who the Father had sent. The one who the Father had sent, who it was so important for him to be in the presence of the Lord. I must be in my Father's house. He would be the one who would allow us to be in the presence of God. He would bring us to the Father so we might be with him as well. Mary started seeing all this and she treasured it because she saw that her son would be so much more than expected. So 12-year-old Jesus wasn't just being a rambunctious kid trying to get away from mom and dad. He was being an obedient son trying to be with his Father. And because of that, we would see over the course of his life how he would allow us to be with our Father as well. We invite you to join us on this journey the next few months to look and see not a version of Jesus that you think he said he was or you wish he said he was, but the Jesus who Scripture reveals him to be. And when we do, when we see that, we pray that you would come to this realization that he really is the Son of God who came away to take this, who came to take away the sins of the world. And that if you would trust in him and believe in him, you too can be with the Father, not in an earthly temple, but in a heavenly dwelling forever. I'm going to ask the team to come up. And as they do, I don't know, maybe you've heard some stuff on a podcast or you've heard something today and you're like, I'm not sure I understand everything about Jesus, but I know I need him. If that's you during this last time, I'm going to be standing in the back. And if you have questions about what it means to understand that Jesus really is the Son of God, what it means to understand that Jesus is the Savior, the one that we need, if you have questions about why you need Jesus, I would love to talk with you through them. I'd love to be able to share the hope that you can have in him. Maybe you have other questions about joining the church, saying, I want this to be my faith family to go through life with. That may be for a short amount of time because you're here for a little while. And look, we've got some folks that's them. They're with us for some residencies and stuff like that. And then, well, we're praying against it. But then they're likely to move on somewhere else, and that's okay. But you want to commit your life to this faith family, to serving God in this place. I'd love to talk to you about that. If there's something else you just need prayer for, I'd be honored to do that too. But we're going to pray. Then we're going to sing. And however you need to respond to what you've heard today, you do that. Father God, move in our hearts, move in our minds. Help us be obedient to what you're calling us to. We pray all this in Christ. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing together.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And oh, what a Savior. Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Bow down before him, for he is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. For him, for he is Lord of
Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Bear your cross.
Bear your cross as you wait for the crown. Tell the world of the treasure you found.
Thank y'all for being here today. It is so good to be back with you. Speaking of being back, we're thrilled you're back. We missed you over winter break, Abby, so thanks for being here. Welcome back, by the way. Also, just a public service announcement real quick. When you're preaching and, you know, making fun of your son's eating habits, Ben, you will be glad to know that a lady I worked with while I was in college commented on the video, Chris, you were the same way. You were always eating bad Chinese food. So, yeah. It's all of us, okay? We love you guys. Thank you so much for being here. Hopefully, we'll see you at a group this week, a Bible study. And if not, we will see you Sunday morning. Have a great week, everyone. Bye-bye.